Now we've made a mess out of this. No, we really have. These $10,000 races are very difficult because you're trying to judge whether or not these horses have four legs. And justice, and you don't take a short price in these races, trust me on that. And justice is a short price. Hasty Holiday will be bet heavily because he's getting Gary Stevens and he's dropping a little bit. The major negative is he seems to need the lead and he's drawn way inside. And he's definitely, this is a definite contender, there's no question about that. Okay? Forcefully, I'm going to pass this race. Okay, I get to do that, and so do we then. And when we did the air test things, we passed four of the nine, right? But if I were playing this race, I'd probably play this horse. What is he, 20 to 1 on the line? If we've done everything right, it's difficult to do everything right, but if we've done it reasonably right, forcefully, he's got a major shot in this race off of these last races. We're going to have to go back on them, right? Anybody have any problem getting there? Does anybody, would anybody at 20 to 1, based on what we've done and put on the board, would anybody have any problems taking 20 to 1 on forcefully? Let's choose, for sake of the exercise though, let's choose two horses to bet in this race. As a group. Okay?
Forcefully.
Can we choose forcefully because of the that 20 to 1 would, I mean, he won't be 20 to 1 with Pinkaya riding him to start with. Is 20 to 1 on the line though? Can we use him? 12?
Yes.
Is he 12?
Yes.
Somebody said he was 20. He's 12, folks.
No, we're in 20 in sweeps.
Okay. I just guessed, I just guessed that he'd be 12.
Okay. Whatever he is, he won't be anywhere near the favorite, right? So we're going to choose forcefully as one of our two horses?
Yeah.
I would do that. If I played this race, I would do that. And so it gets to be, it's my game. It's my ball game today. Forcefully. Where else do you want to go on this?
Hasty.
Somebody said not and justice. Joe says and justice. Anybody else want and justice again? Okay, let's talk about and justice. And justice, we've spent the last 2 hours building a hole you can drive a truck through in and justice. And now you want to use it.
The negative is I'm using two.
Okay, but the negative to Ann Justice is that he's going to be 7-5. And now you're looking at using a 7-5 shot, which will take most of your bet versus the horse that you have a chance to make some money. I'm not saying Ann Justice won't win this race. Obviously he can, because he just won a $10,000. But he is a bad bet.
Tom, is it
a bad bet?
Possible that that Hasty Holiday may in fact be as good a sustainer as the numbers indicate?
If you look at, you know, before the layoff, he showed some sustaining ability. He comes back, first race back, pace line problem, bumped at the start. Immediately after that shows us a great race and sustains right through the stretch. That was 6.5, not 6.
Okay.
The inside fractions on the one turn mile, I grant you, are right. Crazy because of that Nomad Boy race. But still annoying that both of those races give you good sustained numbers.
Okay, let me move through this though. I said he's a definite contender. He is just not a 1-1-1-1-1.
Right.
Okay, because he can't be a 1 with injustice in there. It just won't happen.
What I'm saying is he might still be a sustained contender.
If you see, I also said that I don't really know quite what to do with these Caliani races. If those Caliani races didn't show his ability to come off the pace to some extent, I would say he doesn't have a lot of chance in here. But those two races suggest that maybe he can come off the pace. Now he's disadvantaged by the inside. I prefer a horse moving up in class, not coming down like that, especially after two races back, he almost won at 12-5. But
he stayed with Nomad Boy.
All of his numbers. He didn't really stay with Nomad
Boy. But I'll get those numbers.
Yeah, those are fast fractions, that's right. Okay. Listen, I'm willing to go with a group now. I could use Hasty Holiday. I personally wouldn't because I've been betting against the inside draw. Okay, and I get too many knocks against him. But I could use him as a second horse. Okay? And Justice, I could not, under any circumstance, use as my second horse. Because it just eats up the price on the others.
What about Loveroo?
Now, see, Loveroo is one you got to reason through. Steve would use it. I don't think I'd use Loveroo either, because in the race that we chose, he's got the weakest last racks in the field. But you can make a case for Lovering because of his running start. You can.
But would you use it?
No, I wouldn't. No. I got to tell you, that works. Except for maybe betting a little bit on Forcefully, I'd probably pass this race. Because even Forcefully is not drawn well. He's in the three post because of the scratches.
Well, Lovering's only one outside
there. That's right. I'm not using Lovering.
No, but I mean, if we throw out Injustice, all three of our contenders are inside.
Okay. Let me say right up front. If I bet more, I pass this race. The $20 that I would bet would go on Forcefully. Now that's my position on this race. Choose two horses because we're going to get some results in a little while. We want to see what we did. Choose two horses that you would play. We'll see how it goes. I pass, except I would use Forcefully and I'd use it as a belt. Now we're going to start moving on. I think we've established ground rules there. Who wants to use, as a group though, let's choose a... who wants to use, as one of our horses, Hasty Holiday? It's like about half the class. What about Forcefully?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll all use Forcefully. That's definitely one of our horses is Forcefully. Lovaroo. Okay, a few people use Lovaroo. And Justice. Two people use Air Justice. So as a class, we use Hasty Holiday and Forcefully. A few other people use a couple of these others. Well, let's talk about a third horse. Somebody asked me before, would you use Air Justice or somebody just to protect your bet, back up your bet, break even bet? And my answer to that is no. For one thing, you're not going to the racetrack to be defensive and make sure you don't lose any money. You're going to the racetrack to make some money, right? And the minute you bet one of the horses just to break even, so why not just save that money? Pass it. Now, you're not there to bet defensively, and that's what goes wrong with a lot of us out there, is we begin to play defensively instead of trying to grab what's on the table. Yeah, well, you can do anything you want with it now, but we're through this race. Okay, we gotta make
a simple right. Tom has guaranteed that one of these people will win. And we are going to, if they keep score on Tom today, and if he doesn't score 100%, we're going to take his hands
off. Tom would pass this race. Yes. If I felt strongly about flying lessons, I'd use him as my second. So, but anybody that believes this 2-3-2, now Ann Justice could win this race. We have a few people who chose it. But anybody that believes he's a 2-3-2, better reevaluate that a little and decide whether or not he can go 21-3 or 4. 44-4, 45 today, win. If you make that decision, Ann Justice is better for you. Just don't expect him to come from off the pace like it shows. That just has never happened in his life, and probably never will happen.
Would you just be, what's the rating's been according to what you feel a race was? Would you make Ann Justice one or?
Well, no, because I could have done him before I was put it in the computer. I'm just trying to reason through all of this because I often do that. I don't run a lot of these races through the computer, because I can see who's going to be early and who's going to be late. Who's got the? Because I usually write in the last fraction also, and so I know who's going to come out of it. But I'm just trying to tell you that this is not a 1-1-1-1. He could be the winner of the race because he's got a lot of good ratings. It's not a 1-1-1-1. And Land Justice is not a 2-3-2. He may be a 2-1-4. He's not a 2-3-2. And Speed does well. And he'll be positioned. Actually, all of them will be pretty well positioned at the second call. So this race could be won by just about anybody up here as far as position in the second call.
Now, if you go, Tom, then let me just clarify something. Then in your records and in your models and your profile, when you go back and forth, I'll tell you what I did, and now I can see what the problem is. If you use, I'd use West, because that's what the computer's saying, and that's what I'm balancing with.
Right.
Now on West, the two horses I have are Hasty and Love, and I heard all the description.
Okay.
But the descriptors that you were using go back to the Dream Race matchup. Now, am I correct that you're putting more emphasis on the matchup than in, on anything else?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's the primary consideration, is the matchup as you see it. All right, fine.
It really is.
That's a help, because you see, you can wander around a lot of places as to just how you're going to, the numbers you're going to fool with and the way you're going to focus on. Now, on my printout, when I get, my numbers would say Hasty and Love. That's the way it would be. I wouldn't take it any further.
Okay. And all I'm doing is suggesting you might want to take it just a tad.
Oh, hell yes.
If I were to enter it into my, if Hasty wins it, I'll put 1111 in my model. Okay? I may asterisk it, but see, I have a second piece to that. I also have over here a model I'm keeping from the results charts. And yeah, it'll show he probably came from a length behind.
But the point is, you're not starting there. You're starting over someplace else.
Actually, where I really start is here.
Precisely.
Yeah, that's really what I start with. Most of my handicapping is done right in there.
All right. That's what most helpful.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to put a gag on you. That was not just... That has nothing to do with this race. I'm saying if this 111 appeared, period, that's what I put in the model. That was just a general statement.
How tough would be an Estes if he can rate the horse?
If he can rate, well, he'd be very tough.
It's very tough.
He'd be an ideal type horse.
Be like Alonso.
Well, I don't think so anymore.
I think so.
It'd be a nice horse if he could rate.
One other thing, though, I think. All of these horses can handle the drive experience.
Yeah.
They can. No, we didn't put anybody in there that only handled a 46 or something.
Right. That's what we're reading.
We got to sleep in here.
Probably back to all of the matchup.
He's sleeping.
We spent a lot of time with the problem face because we adjusted and justice.
Right. Sleeping big time.
Okay, let's go to the second race.
Go ahead.
This one got awkward
enough.
Well, since we passed the first.
No, we didn't. I mean, not as a group we did, but yes, I would. But I got to tell you, you know when I'd have passed the first? 2 hours ago.
I might have handicapped it, but I'll pass it.
The second race is the 3-year-old, 6.5 furlongs. The par for this then is claiming race par of 20 less 3 lengths. So the $20,000 claiming race par based on your par times is 117. So for 3-year-olds, it's about 117 and 3 or 4. Make it 117 and 4. Now we also need the 6-furlong par. So 117 and 4 on that. What is it? What does it come to on a 6-furlong? Because a lot of these have been running 6.
So that we.
117 and 4, 6, 1, 10 and 2.
Against 117 to 4? No.
No, I said 117.
Oh, okay.
4. And you adjusted the quarter-year-old.
Okay, 110 and 11.
Or minus 111.
About 111?
Okay, 111.
111 is close enough, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, 1-1. Make it 111 and 1.
111. All right.
111-1. Now, those are the pars that exist for this claiming level, the 3-year-olds. Well, so let's go right through them, identify some running styles right up front. Captain Yankee, what is he? Well, he's not aggressive. Yeah, but to get his best race out of him, what he's got to do, he's got to run early. In this race, he probably won't be in early, which will disqualify him, period. But he is an early horse. He's a horse that better be in front or you have no way of betting him and you shouldn't be. Black Fire. He's clearly a presser. Battery not included. Maybe this horse ought to be ability not included.
Presser looks sustained.
I would not call this horse a sustained horse. I would call this horse, look at these two best races. No, wait a minute. Let me back up on that. I'd make him sustain. It was in Veriplex that he managed to press. I'd make him sustain. All right, now let's also let's take some shortcuts this time so we don't spend 3 hours on this race. Throw this horse out.
Right.
He has sustained no form. Okay? Some kind of wonderful. He is a sustained horse. He has the ability to be nobody at the corner. And I'm going to throw him out. He is sustained. Even though he made kind of a nice run against a weak bunch, 112 flat is a horrible, horrible race. And I'm going to eliminate some kind of wonderful right up front. Because we're also talking that this racetrack is biased toward early pressers, right? Right. This horse is not an early presser. Wachira!
Well, that's curiosity.
No, Lost Curiosity, I'm sorry. Lost Curiosity is in here, that's an F, right? Early?
Early.
Wasn't that
the
scratch?
No, I don't think so. It was the.
No,
it's not a scratch.
No.
It's a scratch in the. Four horses scratch in the third race, I think, or five horses. Lost Curiosity is early, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's early in a group.
Well, take a look at his race on February 15th against allowance types. Take a look at his race on March 17th against allowance types. Couldn't make him anything better. He is strictly an early. Wachira. Let's take a look at him.
Sustained?
No, he's not sustained. He's a presser. He tries to press. His best races are down there a year ago. They were all pressing. His race on March 31st is pretty good against what was a weak race, incidentally, but he pressed that race, and we'll make him a presser. Latosh.
Early presser. Either way.
This is quite a horse. He isn't early. He's got two wins in his chart. One win in his chart, that was strictly early. He's got another good race on February 12th, and that was strictly early. He tried to press a little last time, but he made no impact. But make him early. Sea Pride, what is this? It's an interesting call. This is a pretty useful horse, as a matter of fact. I would make him early presser. Early pressure. Universal Funds. Yeah, now this is a three-year-old. Don't go back too far on him. Use the current data to some extent here. He just basically can't get out of his own way. I got to tell you what I would do with this horse, for a lot of reasons. I'm going to throw him out right now. I hope nobody disagrees with that. And there's always one way of telling whether or not you're making the right move or not. Look at the price he was held in an identical field last time. 4-1 and never really threatened any time in the race.
Well, that's a poor race.
So we'll eliminate Universal Funds. Now let's go back up to this race and see what else we've done. Captain Yankee. Does anybody want any part of this horse?
He
gets Lasix today?
Yes, real.
Okay, now I want you to do one other thing for me. This is an inside post. That's a negative, but it's not enough to get rid of it. I'm just saying that is a negative. Count up his last 5 races. Total of beaten lengths in those 5 races. Divided by 5. Total is beaten length. Then look at the price he was held in all of those races as a 3-year-old. Okay, now I hope I've made that point. This is the kind of horse you can't spend a lot of time with. And when they win, they should pay $80. If they pay less than $80, it's a severe underlay. So you just accept it. Black Fire is clearly a contender, I believe, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Lots of Curiosity is clearly a contender. We'll deal with his form in a minute. Wachira. Yeah.
Well, we set 111.1 at the start, if we got with the 111.4, it was still a length of quarter off.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. Let's take a look. The one thing about this race, we set 111.1 as the par, but I gotta tell you, depending upon the quality of the three-year-olds at a given time, when you're dealing with three-year-olds, the pars are a little slippery. Look at Black Fire, who got beat a length at 112, and you said yes to him.
Yes.
Yeah, but this was all, Brochure's first good race since way back in August.
And that means he's improved. See, that's, you're quoting that as a negative, and that's a positive.
But then they took him away for 3 weeks, whereas he'd been for 21 days, and he was so much.
I'm gonna shoot, I'm gonna pull a gun out and shoot you in a minute. This is why you're here, I mean, this. How long is 21 days? All right, on June 17th, in the middle of that 21-day period, the horse works 46 at Duke Best of Morning, even though it's at Santa Anita. It's still, there are enough races to get him best, or workouts to get him Best of Morning. If you accept Black Fire as a contender, you have to accept Washington. And back to the point I made also a couple minutes ago, when you're dealing with three-year-olds, be a little careful with the pars. Kind of use the horses themselves to match up those pars. Because the three-year-olds can be awfully bad or awfully good at any given time. And the three-year-olds, this year in the claiming brackets, are horrible. I wrestle with that variant every time I have to make it. Latosh. Who wants Latosh? All right, for now we'll accept Latosh as a contender because conceivably he could win in 20. Sea Pride, who wants him as a contender?
Yes.
There are only a few hands up. I think Sea Pride is a major contender.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've said, for a lot of reasons, we've said, first of all, that he's an early slash presser. That kind of a horse is a contender, generally. And I've told you about the bias. Look at Sea Pride's last three races. Look at the third race back. He's drawn in a six post, right? Then they move him down into the rail, and then in the three hole. Now that is just another illustration of how strong that bias is. Yes.
Can I say something about the last race?
Yes.
They
are coming off. It is significant that his third race back was drawn in about the same post he is here, and he's back out off the rail. Sea Pride's a contender because he's got the right legs. So now we have, if Dick will put him on the board, Black Fire, Lots Curiosity, Washira, Latosh, and Sea Pride. Around number of five. Yes.
Universal Fun.
Yes.
For all of the problems. Was in a tandem. Or basically beat Sea Pride.
We beat Sea Pride? No, he didn't. That's not the same Frank Prince race.
No, the Wachira race.
Wachira race. He's in a tandem with the Wachira race.
Oh, okay.
So if you take Wachira. Do you have to take Universal Fun?
Wachira's 3-1. Let's talk about that for a minute. Wachira was 3-1. Wachira was 3-1 in that race and got beat a length. Universal Funds, drawn favorably on the outside, was 54-1 and was beaten 3¼. I mean, he did exactly what he was supposed to do.
That was a good thing. Doc told us to let the child in.
Oh, okay. But he said child, the not Tom. He said not Tom. Okay, I think Universal Funds would really be a mistake to make this.
Got a question. You accepted Black Fire.
Yes.
We're talking three-year-olds.
Yep.
And some kind of wonderful was in the same race, had trouble at the start, was only beaten by three lanes by the Black Fire.
Okay.
He's showing pressing race as of August in Del Mar.
As a two-year-old.
As a
careful.
I agree, but he had trouble, and that's why he couldn't could that be the reason that he looks like a closed zone as well here?
Okay, let's talk about, how does this racetrack run? You've got to be close, especially at the half, right? Now look at some kind of order, it was first race. It was 10th in an 11 horse field at the quarter. Still 8th at the half. His next race, he was 6th at 7 furlongs, which gave him a chance to be a little closer than he would have been possibly. Then he's still 5th at the half. His next start as a 3-year-old, he's 10th at both of the first two calls. Then his next start, even though he was pitched, he's still 16-1 and Blackfriars 3-1 that race. He's 10th and 9th the first two calls. Even if you add him in here, you're going to bet against him because he doesn't fit your model at all. He doesn't fit the profile.
Well, I'm looking at the profile and saying that's why he doesn't fit the profile.
Yeah, but what about the race before?
The race before, I don't know why.
What about his race on August 12th? The only time he's ever been anywhere near the pace is at 7 furlongs, which is a little slower pace to him.
Okay.
Okay. Now the only, I gotta tell you, we're gonna have to really deal with a form problem here. Because the only horse, actually two, the horse with seemingly the best, the dominant numbers in the race, is gonna be Lots of Curiosity. His fractions in a root are better than these horses in swimming. Okay, so now we're going to have to deal with a lot of problems with him, because one of them is that the guy's coming down the ladder as fast as he can get there. That's okay. We're going to deal with it in a moment. No, let's just go over. Are you going to support this horse? Or do you, we're not going to really talk about Lots of Curiosity. I'm just previewing what's going to happen. Pardon? Okay, what's the point then, Jim? I'm sorry. Okay, we're gonna have to deal with him in a moment. Mm-hmm. Let's get Blackfriars baseline. Yeah, because you don't want to use these Golden Gate lines because they run incredibly fast up there, and that will distort his time here. Let's put down that he'll go based on his two Hollywood Park races, one on May 4th. And his last one, we'll use his last race as a pace line, and we'll say that he'll get to the half in about 46-1, 46-2, 46-1. Let's say that's where he hits the half, 46-1. Folks, that's not exactly flying. Let's go now to Lots of Curiosity. Where do you suppose, what time do you suppose he'll hit the half in? Probably about 22-1. He was going way too fast, which is why he collapsed last time. But what do you think? 45-1, 45-2? I'll accept whatever you say, because either one of us is going to put him in front.
Okay, 45-3.
At Sanity, he went 45-3. At Sanity, he went 45-2. I'd probably guess that you might be right. I'd probably say 45-3 also. And one of the reasons for that is that you can take 2/5 of a second off of his route last time, except that this horse, if you've ever seen him run, runs just as fast as he can possibly get. And that's probably as fast as he's going to run. I would say 45-2, 45-3, some of that general area. And I'll put it down. Who wants 45-2 for this horse? No big thing. 45-3. Either one. I'll just write 45-2 in the house. All right. Now, right now, based on what we're looking at, this horse figures 4 lengths in front of the half. That's just so far. I always have to deal with that. What's your run?
46.
All right. Now, one of the things you want to do probably with Wachira is use his last race. You want to go one back? Who wants to do that?
I like.
Okay, I'm going to say, I get to be boss, so I'm going to say no one.
Yeah.
And the reason I say no way to that is that I mentioned earlier that the least dependable number you can find out here is the internals from the one-turn lot. The single worst, least dependable number. Sometimes you have to use it because there's no other game, but that is really undependable. They run so far, so fast, that it just doesn't hold up. I couldn't tell you what number to take away from it. Now, his last race. Okay, now you got an alternative, although it was off of a layoff and at a higher level, and that's back in March. Well, I think probably that's not representative, although. What do you suppose he'll get to the half to?
46.
I think he'll get there faster than
45. 45.2.
Who said 49?
45.
Okay.
I'll say 45. 45.3.
That's right.
All right, going faster.
All right, let's talk about it for a minute. Let's go all the way back down through everything. As a two-year-old, he managed to get roughly 45.4, 46. He even tried to press a 44.3 at Del Mar, which says he's got some speed. At Fairplex, in September, he pressed a 46, which is much faster. 45.1, he was a length off to Right Notion Pain over at San Anita.
Well, the numbers come out in the 70s. It merely gives you the percentile relationship of the horse to the pace of the race it ran in from your pace line, plus its velocity divided by 2. So you have the 2 most important components of racing. If you think back, you know, everybody, there are many, many fine riders in racing, and all of them have said that the horse that you should look for today is the horse who will be closest to the pace, who will always be in striking distance of the pace, right? I didn't originate that. I've read that in virtually anybody's book. They also say, quite reasonably, that the horse who runs with the highest velocity is a good bet. So when you combine the two, you've got the best of both worlds, and that's what UltraScan does. And that's what Phase 3 does if you use a little insight and a little analysis. Now, why do we use 3 instead of 1? For years, everybody's saying, hey, just take the final time, adjust it by the daily variant and what have you. And that's all you need to do. Remember Julius Caesar? I'm sure you all had to read Julius Caesar in high school, unless you were spared it. Julius Caesar said, that Gaul is the video in tres partes, which is all Gaul is divided into 3 parts. Nobody had ever conquered Gaul before Julius Caesar, which is now France. Julius says, I'm going to whip this bunch. So he divided Gaul into 3 parts and made arrows into the various 3 parts of Gaul, the underbelly of Gaul from Rome, Italy, and divided his army into 3 thrusts. And he figured he had 3 times the chance of conquering Gaul than any previous attempted conqueror did. And he did. He conquered Gaul for the first time. What we say is all races are divided into 3 parts. We can actually divide them into more, but essentially we're dividing the race into 3 parts. Now, it makes sense to me that if speed handicapping is good, using 1 element of pace, final time, then dividing it into 3 races gives you 3 times the edge of the general public or the speed handicapper. And the public now has become very, very speed handicapping conscious. Most of you are essentially speed handicappers, are you not? So all you're doing is doing what you're doing now, but you're dividing the race into 3 races. Well, let's see what that does. And this is the element of the matchup, which is part of this. We have 3 horses. Let's take more if you want. Let's take 5 horses. Can everybody in this room eliminate all the horses in a race and get it down to 5 horses? Can anybody not do that? Can anybody not foresee that they will soon be able to do that if they work at it? because you really must do that. Before I got into this thing, somebody importuned me, a psychopathic patient of mine in Washington importuned me into buying a horse. He owed me money. He had a marital thing, he was counseling, and he was a car dealer and could afford it. But he's always playing the, I owe you money, always wanted to be a little bit behind, even though I could afford it. So I was going over there and counseling in Spokane from Seattle, and I'm supposed to meet him at an office over there. And he says, meet me at Playfair, which is the racetrack. So, okay, I go to the racetrack, and he says, Doc, you know that money I owe you? I just invested it. You got 10% of a racehorse. Well, I don't know anything about it. I knew that the first part of the horse went over the finish line first. That's all I knew about horse race. I had 10% of a horse named Tyrolean Boy. And I don't know how much your kids eat. But by the time that horse started eating that, whatever the heck they were giving him, I was in, you know, I was paying 10% of the feed bill. Horses eat a lot of hay. Well, that was all I knew about horse racing. It was expensive, except I got to talking. I don't know, people sometimes tell psychologists things they don't tell a lot of other people, but I got talking to the people, the secretary of the track, and the people who made up the races, and the promotion man, and he said, you know something? He said, at this track especially, there are only about 3 horses in a race that can possibly win it. Because they made up the cards, and they had a devil of a time making up a 9-horse card, because there were only 3 really fit horses there. Now, if you go to Santa Anita, the same secretary will tell you there are probably 5 horses in a 9-horse card who really have a chance. But it's not any manipulation. You can see it in the racing form, the 3 in Spokane and the 5 here who have a true chance. But that was the first time I knew from those who were expert in their field that only a minimum number of horses, even at major tracks where they had more class and more animals to choose from, and a higher quality animal, but there were just a limited number who really had a chance in the race. The rest are put in there to make up the field. You talk to any trainer, and he'll say, or owner, I've got a favor to do with the race secretary. He says, get me some horses out of your barn to run in the 5th race tomorrow. I've only got 4 horses in there, and I want to make it a 10-horse field. They will do a favor, and then in a subsequent week, the racing secretary will card a race for one of their horses. So they meet the conditions, so that some horse they want to run will be able to meet the conditions and run. So there are, at even the best tracks, only a minimum number of horses, never more than half the field, who truly qualify, who truly are contenders in the race. Now, once in a while, trainers don't know everything. How many trainers do we know who said, that horse hasn't got a chance? Jimmy Bradshaw tell you some marvelous stories about trainers when their horse pays $108, they didn't expect it was going to win. So there are always those exceptions, always those horses who will come in that nobody thought had a chance. But they're rare. As Dick said, you can limit it down to about 6 to 7% of 100 races that you just cannot figure how the horse won. So we have 5 contenders in the race. We're going to divide the race into 3 parts. Part 1 is to the first fraction, part 2 is to the second call, and part 3 is the final fraction. Now, remember, the horse that comes in first here is not the winner of the race. It just means he ran the fastest final fraction. You have to analyze. So horse A is first here. He won that race. Let's have D come in second in that race. And let's have D come in third and C come in fourth. We got second, third, fourth. B's going to have to come in fifth. That's how the race ran to that point. Okay, if the race was over there, A would be the winner. What happens here? B got blocked or something at the gate, and he came on and ran a tremendous second fraction. A started to drop back. He was second. This horse stayed third, or came up third. This horse now moved back to fourth, and this horse was tied for this horse. They ran about the same. So the second portion of that race was won by B. Now in the third fraction, B came on and held on to it. A dropped way back, and the other horses came in about like that. So we divided the race into 3 parts. Now depending on the velocity of those three parts, we know which one of those horses had the combined best three fractions to be predicted as the winner. When I was doing the methodology earlier, we all did it with hand calculators, and we did it just making those numbers, been out hours and hours. And I would have the winner, have the right numbers, but you look at the massive numbers, and your eyes will do strange things. 58s will turn into 56s, a lot of things are happening. So I drew what we call a compigraph, which is precisely this. Once I drew that compigraph and saw the race unfold, our winning percentage shot up because of the human error. Now, of course, that was before the computer. Now with the computer, it spells it out for you. Practically goes to the window for you. In fact, some people would like a program that would go to the window for them. But I warn them, if the computer can go to the window for you and get the money, the computer can also fly to Brazil where you can't extradite it. So you've got to do something on your own. But the Contigraph was our biggest saving grace to avoid human error. We were able to see the race unfold. In fact, Daryl Martin and I, was my first research director and associate, we used to sit there and play-by-play announcer with them. We say, well, okay, going to the lead, it's first quarter, so-and-so, and B's coming up then. We see the race unfold in our mind. Then we'd get out there, and we'd irritate the heck out of the people in the stands at the racetrack. Because they'd break out of the gate, and Garrel said, and Butcher Boy goes to the lead. The guy on the up there, and Butcher Boy takes the lead, and he'd be doing it before the fellow. Now, we didn't do this every race, but we did it sufficient. And boy, if you don't think people thought that the races were fixed when they heard this guy reciting it. We could look at the configuration of the horses at the second call, when they were rounding the turn, and we could say, and now, horse, whatever the name of the horse was, is now making his move, he's coming up on the outside, and he's taking the lead. Well, about 5 seconds later, the guy said, and so-and-so, moving up on the outside, now takes the lead. People would look at us. And we used to love to do that. I said, Daryl, we better cool it. You're getting some pretty dirty looks. That doesn't always happen that way. And when it doesn't happen that way, that's terrible. You feel cheated. But you can almost, and you do this, practice this at home, you can almost call the race if you make yourself a compigraph. You can see where the horse is going to be by those numerical designations that you get from using feet per second. Any questions? Let's all participate in this. This is not a recital. Anybody have any questions at this point? Sir?
Where do you get the velocity and feet per second for the first Roman numeral 1, 2, and 3 up at the top, or 1, 2, and 3? One, if you assume that's early pace, which would be the second call, then the second would be what? The third fraction? Where do you get
the first is the first fraction.
In the
second is the second fraction. I'm doing this on a fractional compigraph. I'm going to get to the early late later. I'm just taking them by fractions now.
Okay, if you crank out the fraction in the program that I have, the first fraction doesn't show up there.
It does now, because I just gave you the one that does make it show up, because you've got an advanced program, because you're such a charming man. I'll tell you something about this guy. We go to the restaurant, and he wants a second Coke, and the waiter's not around. He gets up and waits on us, gets the Coke. When he wants something, he gets it. And when he wanted off the scan before phase three, he got it.
I retract my question.
He got what he wanted, but he got it too soon. So now you got phase three, which gives you these. The danger of getting ultrascan before phase three is that a lot of this is calculated without you having to see it. And if you don't envision it correctly, ultrascan can kill you, just as much as it can make you a fortune if you know what you're doing. That's why we insist that everybody get to phase three. My friend over here, I gave him, he looks so brilliant, I gave him everything, and he calls me up 2 weeks later. He said, don't do me any more favors. Don't give me all this stuff at once. Let me digest one at a time. That's why we don't do it anymore. You've got to digest the meaning of phase three. You've got to be able to see a race unfold from beginning to end. Dewey Mall did it brilliantly. I put it in one of the manuals. The whole secret of a race is just in a couple of lines. It is, you start here and you end here. What do you do between here and there? And then you break it off into three parts. The secret, the true secret of predicting races is not predicting it via velocity itself, it's predicting it through deceleration. Sir?
Oh, I'm just scratching my bald spot.
Oh, okay. Your bald spot, oh. He's a Hungarian, I don't know what they'll say. It's deceleration as much as it is acceleration. The horse that has the highest acceleration coupled with the least amount of deceleration wins the race. But the only way you can measure, when everybody pirates all this, we're going to come up with a program on deceleration. We're getting a lot of pirates now. The problem with the pirates is they only pirate the computer program. They don't pirate the goodwill, the follow-up, the warmth and camaraderie of winners, and the instruction manuals. They just pirate the programs. And believe me, if it looks complicated when you've got all of our good wishes going with you, think how complicated it is when you just buy it and you don't even know if, you know. So it hurts me to see energy pirated. I don't mind the other stuff pirated. Energy is the secret. In that pink one you got, and some of you already have, of course, because you're already planned, you will see something that'll amaze you. I hope it does. The Secretariat and a horse named Stage Gossip, one of which was a very cheap player, Secretariat. I guess we all acknowledge it's probably the greatest racehorse of all time. Both had specific, traceable energy patterns which deviated very, very slightly over their entire career. When I said this at Expo 84, naturally the know-it-all handicapper goes, hey, no, jockeys can rate those horses.